You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
That'd be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We welcome aboard our friend Gary Hess for some fun. Lots of fun in store this weekend, Gary.
Yes, indeed. And before we talk about this weekend, let me talk about last weekend, because I watched a little bit of your alma mater on Saturday.
Debuting their new stadium, $300 million donation. That'll buy some nice talent.
Yes, yes, it will.
And Jalen Daniels,
right,
at quarterback. I hope he gets drafted as the Commander's backup.
In his ninth year at quarterback in college, I think. He's, you know, it's like I heard of him before I heard of Jaden Daniels.
Remember Perry Ellis, basketball player, same thing. Armando Bacot,
right.
All these guys. So yeah, they're still in college.
Yeah,
they're still in college.
They're still in college. He's working on his second doctorate.
If the Commanders draft Jalen Daniels, what do you put on the back of the uniform?
Backup.
Not Jaden.
That's right. That's right.
Doesn't matter.
It's right.
Nobody's watching. You're screwed.
It's right. It's right. Practice squad.
They had the Jaden Daniels problem, which is to say they ran him too much in a meaningless game.
Right. And, you know, the only other thing I'll say about that Kansas game is I'm always compelled to that game. I am a fan of Tim Brando. I think I've been a fan for decades. I think he does great job, and I enjoy when I hear him on the mic. I enjoy watching that game.
So. Very well put. And we got some real ones this weekend.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I love that the Hokies are only 8-point underdogs. I don't love taking the Hokies in the 8 though in the Beamer Bowl.
I'm not really feeling that.
Yeah.
I know Coach Beamer and Sherrill are going to be honored at the game. There's no way Shane Beamer's going to let his team have a letdown against his dad's former program when his dad's being honored in a game where they're getting national run. Yeah, it does not. I'm with you.
And last year they got scared by Old Dominion,
and a 3-touchdown loss to South Carolina still puts Virginia Tech Virginia Tech's legitimate goals are out there in front of them.
The much more important game is against Vandy the next weekend.
100%.
That's especially after the way they lost that one last year. If you're
100%.
Brent Pry, you got to show you learned from that.
Right.
You've got to show progress forward there.
Totally agree. And I think it's just going to be interesting to see what version of Kyron Drones we get. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, the thing about college football is it's a lot like pros in that there's no preseason, you know, there's preseason games, but you see very little of the starters. And you know, from year to year, the makeup looks totally different. So it's like, what are they going to look like? It's like the great unveiling this weekend.
Yes.
All over the country. You know, it's like, well, what's Ohio State going to look like? Well, they're going to look like they're raising a banner, but, you know, that team's long gone. You know, so it's going to be like that. What's UVA going to look like? Holy crap. I mean, they got new players everywhere. So
I am so excited for Ryan Day to be the first coach to get booed on his banner racing night.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Thank you, college football, for delivering us the best storyline of the
world. Oh, yes. So that is, I'm excited about, there's a lot of games.
LSU, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, Belichick debut. He's an underdog in his home debut.
That's Monday night. Yep. And then I think there are some under-the-radar games. I think Thursdays, you know, this is college football geek talk here, but I find compelling the Nebraska-Cincinnati game on Thursday night.
While I also find that compelling, I ain't staying up that late.
No, me either.
That's a disrespect to all of us to try to cram in two Thursday nights. So if you don't know, the first game starts at 5:30, and then they're kicking this one when it's over, which 9:15, who's to say?
Right. I'll look forward to seeing the highlights when I get up Friday morning.
A 9 o'clock p.m. kickoff should only take place in California.
Now, I agree with you on that. I will see probably a little bit of that game before I get to bed Thursday night, being that I'll be wrapping up a broadcast.
So. Let's go to that. 32nd year The high school football game of the week. It is a local institution. You should be very proud of what it's become. And you've got two good ones right out of the gate here. It's an opening week doubleheader.
Yeah, we went twin bill, and it's kind of crazy to think. But tonight we'll be at Glen Allen. And, you know, this is another school where there's some question marks. They lost a ton of seniors, but they have a ton of talent. So what are we going to see from Glen Allen? And Tom Hall, year two at Prince George, they're going to be much better. How much better is the question? And his next win is career win 200, which puts him in rarefied air in the 804.
That's fantastic. And then Friday night, another big one.
Private versus public. Now, we don't get a lot of that around here.
Nope.
There's later this year, Trinity Episcopal's playing Glen Allen. Benedictine is playing Metoaka later this year. But right out of the gate, we get St. Christopher's over on Forest Hill Avenue against the Huguenot Falcons. And shout out to my man, Coach Richard McPhee, who basically put the Huguenot program on the map. They're naming the field after him in a pregame ceremony. And Coach Chris and I are going to have him in the booth at halftime tomorrow night. So going to get to chat with Coach McPhee. That's always fun to talk with Coach Mack.
I'll go back to football, but Coach Lancaster passed last week. And I know you knew him. I knew him.
One of my all-time favorites, and really got to visit with him a lot because ever since he got inducted in the VHS Hall of Fame, he would come back for the inductions every year. So I would see him. I'd run into him occasionally when he was in town at restaurants, different events, and just one of those guys. First of all, legendary coach. Forget the human stuff for a second. He has a Hall of Fame resume as a coach.
Yep.
Then on top of that, you will find very few human beings on the planet that can match George Lancaster. And it's a terrible loss for the high school community locally and for all of RVA. Just a great guy. And I was very saddened by that news.
Lots of successful coaches, and I'm not throwing shade at any of them, but the way he treated people and worked with those kids is everything you want high school football or high school basketball.
High school sports in general. Yes.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
To be about.
Yeah, those are the kind of guys. If you start a coaching career in high school and say, I'm going to model what I do after George Lancaster, you're going to be just fine.
I want to be able to wear those sweaters someday.
My goodness.
He pulled it off.
Not everyone can pull that off.
Let me assure you, I could not pull that off.
Neither can I. Neither can I, but he did.
Gary Hess joins us. Starts season 32 of high school football tonight. It'll be on WRVA.
Yeah, we'll be on WRVA, 7 o'clock air, no pregame, both of these nights and for the next 2 weeks after that until the squirrel season wraps up, and then we return to what we call the friendly confines of Sports Radio 910.
It's warm and fuzzy around here. Let me throw a couple other games at you. Hopewell Highland Springs. Highland Springs, obviously a big favorite in this game, but I'm intrigued both by Highland Springs, is a little bit of an unknown Springer squad, and by Hopewell.
And you know, what's really interesting about this is our preseason CBS 6 910 The Fan Coaches Poll, Varina's number one.
Yes.
Varina played for the state championship last year. Varina beat Highland Springs last year. Varina is getting the attention, getting the buzz, and rightfully so. And so the Springers have kind of been flying under the radar a little bit, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be fascinating to see exactly what this Springer team is and what they have. Ricky Irby always puts a representative team on the field at Hopewell. That's going to be a fascinating game on Friday night to see how that all unfolds. We'll be seeing Highland Springs in a couple of weeks when they play Dinwiddie.
And you mentioned you're going to be at the Huguenot game. Their path to the state title feels as clear as it's ever been, minus their local competition here, really. It feels like we could very legitimately see a state champ this year.
When you look at the teams in Division Four, i.e. Dinwiddie, i.e. Verina and Huguenot, the regional champ is going to be right there with Phoebus, I believe,
yep.
to kind of slug it out to see who's the team that's going to, you know, and Verina got there last year and lost to Phoebus in the championship game. And so, you know, it's we, the only 804 state champion we had last year was Benedictine.
Yep.
You know, I think there's a decent chance of multiple state titles this year in the 804. Don't sleep on TJ down in Division Two.
Okay.
So yeah, we've got several possibilities to make that run and hoist the trophy at the end. And between Benedictine, St. Chris, and Trinity, you got to believe one of those is going to win the private school state title.
We got some sorting out to do there,
yes,
as well as the season goes on.
And they all play each other, and that will get sorted out. We enjoy the public school, private school games, but how will that shake out? Benedictine, new coach for the first time in over a decade. You know, Davion Brown, who has seemingly been at Trinity forever, star wide receiver. And St. Christopher's has Darius Gray, who could become the first lineman in a long time to be the All-Metro Player of the Year. So
nation's best offensive lineman in the recruiting rankings.
And he's going
right
to play
now.
Both ways, so he'll put up more stats as a defensive player. Yeah, but so a two-way offensive line, defensive line player could be the odds-on favorite to win the player of the year in the 804, and that's crazy.
And let's draw the full circle, playing for Shane Beamer. What a get for the Gamecocks right
yeah,
there.
There's no doubt about that. He is the goods. And, you know, you talk about there's the Whitehead kid at Bird, Bull, Jayshon Richardson at Verina. It is a stellar year in the 804 for guys who play on the line of scrimmage.
We'll be following along, 1140 WRVA tonight and tomorrow night. Season 32 kicks off.
Looking forward to it.
Gary,
let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. Gary Hess, everybody. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 910
The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We bring in our guy Parney on Thursdays. Love chatting with Parney. Parney's a rock star. Parney and I chatted with the rock star yesterday, so that was cool. Parney, people are sleeping on this. When we talk next week, we're going to make the announcement. They've only got six more chances to see the Richmond Flying Squirrels at the Diamond. It is rapidly approaching.
Yeah, I hope they're not sleeping on it, man. It's coming quick. I just drove in from a meeting into the Diamond, and the sign out front says 10 games left of the Diamond. Hopefully regular season games, because we're in a pennant race, a tight Eastern League four-horse race. We're in a four-horse race coming around the last turn. Fortunately for Dennis Pelfrey, who I've already spent time with this morning, our all-time winningest manager in Squirrels history, an awesome guy, we're playing Akron right now. They're in third place, a game and a half in front of us. And then Harrisburg is in second place, two and a half games ahead of us. And then we don't play them anymore. So that's out of our hands. And then next week we go to Altoona for six. So nine of our remaining 15 games, excuse me, 10 of our remaining 16 games, if I'm getting the math right. Yeah, 10 out of our 16 are against people that are ahead of us. That puts us in a very favorable position, because we win those games, we're going to be in a good spot. So when I say that these next 10 games are the most important that I can recall in Squirrels history, I'm not being dramatic. Four of those are tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday here at the Diamond. And then we go to Altoona next week. And then, of course, we finish the season the 9th through the 14th in the final six regular season games in the history of the Diamond before we go over to CarMax Park on April 7th of 2026. So, baseball-wise, if you love the Squirrels, if you love baseball, if you love meaningful baseball in late August, you got to get out to the Diamond and see the Squirrels play very, very soon.
Well, it goes without saying, six big ones coming in Altoona, because you got to take them down. To be the man, you got to beat the man, Parney. Those are the official rules.
of Pennant Chase baseball. They'll get their chance to do that, but it'll be on the road. We'll lean on Pelf. We'll see what he's able to do with the boys next week up there. And, of course, you'll hear all those games right here on 910 The Fan. Parney, this is a fun week. We've got actual football this week. What are you planning on doing to celebrate?
Tanya and I have our first of 8 weddings that we're going to.
Eight weddings.
I don't think I'm telling a secret because he put it on social media. Eddie Mack getting wed down there in Florida. So Tanya and I are going leaving tomorrow to go down for that. We have 8 weddings between August 30th and December 21st when former Squirrels player Simon Whiteman gets married. Today actually is the anniversary of my and Tanya's engagement 4 years ago. So that's a shout out to Tauntaun for being an awesome wife now. But she beat me to the punch and reminded me of happy engagement day. But so I'll be in Florida. I'll be near televisions. I'm planning on doing some football this weekend while at the same time having Tanya have the Squirrels games on her phone. So we'll be sported out in the Parnell family this weekend. Let me back up 1 second, though. September 14th, final game here at the Diamond, regular season game here at the Diamond, hopefully. I don't know that we're sold out yet, but I walked down to the hallway to go to the bathroom a while back. I'm hearing a lot of people talking, saying the words sold out. So if you don't have tickets for September 14th yet, take Parney's advice on the MP on the Mic show. Get on the horn or go online right now, because if it's not, it's going to be soon. And you don't want to be one of those people that's blocked out just because we're 2 weeks plus out of the way.
It's going to be an event. It's going to be an event at the Diamond. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I love that whoever invented baseball on our cell phones is a genius, because wherever we are, Florida, wherever it happens to be, you're never far from the Squirrels and you're never far from the action. That's awesome. The Tanya Parney wedding, really the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce of the Richmond area. You know, a lot of people are saying that, making that comparison these days.
What did you do at my Tauntaun's wedding? You watched the college football playoffs in the one room on big screens, right?
We did. We absolutely. It was Ohio State TCU, maybe. Ohio State won, if I'm remembering correctly.
No, that was a game Ohio State's kicker missed the field goal against somebody. Maybe it was Michigan. It was somebody. And the kicker that missed the kick was born in Richmond, Virginia.
Ooh.
And the kick was made at the strike of midnight on New Year's Eve.
I definitely remember that the game was ending as... there you go. It was Ohio State. It was the Peach Bowl. And it was Georgia was the team they'd lost to. And it was the first college football play of the new year in 2023, right after a phenomenal party there for Parney and crew. How about that? That's wild. All right. I want to do one more Squirrels question with you, because Trey's been talking about how they're cleaning everything out there at the Diamond. I know you've got some great giveaways next week centered around that and some events for the community to come, you know, help clean out the Diamond. Have you started cleaning out Parney's pub, and can you share some of the fun stuff you've encountered along the way?
I mean, the pub's been cleaned out all year, and the signed autograph pictures taken off the wall, a Ricky Williams baseball card from the Piedmont Bollweevils I was the GM of, where he poses in the Heisman pose in a baseball uniform.
Yes.
That's actually missing. I don't know where that's at.
Oh, no.
I think that might have gotten the five-finger discount somewhere. But that was one thing that I noticed. And then the Ross Grimsley autograph picture to me of his Cleveland Indians baseball card where he stuck his finger up his nose. That was another one. And then somebody found this in one of my buckets. I haven't seen it yet, but they told me they were cleaning some stuff up in the pub. They said, "Parney, a ball fell off the wall and rolled down the hallway, and I picked it up. Guess who it was autographed by? I have no idea." Whitey Ford.
Oh, okay then.
And I told my father-in-law that story. He goes, oh, you could give that one with me. I'll take that one.
Yeah, huh? You find some dangers.
And then in Papa John's, what we call my father, and Papa John for me, he goes, you'll get it back someday. I ain't going to be here forever. it is funny. Like, I was in Benny's office yesterday, and I'm like, where's all your bobbleheads? He's like, I packed them up. And so the reality really is hitting, and I did a tour 2 days ago at CarMax Park. Holy smokes, MP, does it look nice. They're putting glass in the suites. I mean, it's people are just going to go crazy for it. I'm just so excited. But the reality and the memories, Bruce Baldwin's going to be here tonight, I'm told, former GM of the Braves. And it's just an awesome time to be with the Squirrels. Again, I'm always grateful to Lou for giving me the opportunity 16 years ago and still being here today in a part-time senior advisor role. So, yeah, there's a lot of them. I'm sitting here looking at a picture of me, LeVar Stoney, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. at the Richmond Raceway on the wall. That's going to have to come down at some point, too. So, yeah, you've been in here. There's a lot of stuff in here. A lot of stuff in here.
There's memories in those walls, and the memories will move across the street, and new memories will be made next year at CarMax Park. Parnie, of course, joins us to get us ready for the weekend of football. It's Parnie's happy hour. Parnie, things went very well last year. I don't have to remind you, we don't talk about heaters, but that has been a while. It's been a minute. We're 0-0 this year. There's no heat. There's no ice.
I told you yesterday when we were taping Parnie time with Cody Braun, you mentioned rock star, award-winning musician with the band Reckless Kelly for, what do you say, 27 years now, 28 years?
An incredible run.
And we also had J.J. Gosch, the CEO of the Austin Gamblers of the Team Professional Bull Riding Series that you can see on CBS every Sunday. I hope you had fun. I had a great time with those two guys, very dear friends. And I lost my train of thought. Why was I bringing that up?
I don't think J.C. will mind me sharing this, because we did the Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame last year, and there were like some big names inducted in, you know, Denny Hamlin and, you know, guys like that. But it was the guys who had like lived in Chesterfield for 50 years, coached high school sports, you know, been a part of the fabric of the community. Those were the ones that was like, wow, you know, this evening's about them. And I think that Parnie Times had some really big name guests, and it's been fun. But you get somebody that's like has a deep relationship with you. That's the magic.
Yeah, you said afterwards it was just like sitting in a bar to listen to me and Cody and JJ telling stories about, you know, my kids, and my kids are close. They call them Uncle JJ and Uncle Cody, and live that way with Jerome, who's obviously a big name too. But it was really fun. I hope people really take some time and listen to our Parnie time. We did Ben Hill last inning for Minor League Baseball Report, and it was great talking about Minor League Baseball. So we're having a lot of fun with it. I'm always grateful to UMP for taking your valuable time, and Cheats as well. And Joe T, this will be the last teaser for this party time inning that'll come out next Tuesday night at midnight. We were talking with J.J. Gosch, professional bull riding, and Cody Braun, and they want to have a Reckless Kelly concert where J.J. brings a bull and Joe T rides the bull while Reckless Kelly's playing a song.
Say no more. I'm in. Sign me up for that. I would watch that all day long. I love that Joe T swung by for the finish. I always love seeing him, because I know you speak about my valuable time, and I appreciate that. Joe T's time may be more valuable than all of us these days as he starts his 97th business endeavor.
He's a busy dude, man.
He's a busy
and it's Thursday, so he'll be eating pasta somewhere tonight on Thursday.
It's good to have traditions. All right, let's plow through.
But I am feeling pressure. I'm feeling pressure after last
you
year.
Should.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
You should feel pressure. This is a high pressure situation. Let's talk about pressure. You're Arch Manning. You're part of the most famous family in football. You're the starter for the University of Texas this year. You go into the horseshoe. They're raising a banner. Ohio State 1.5-point favorites against Texas on Saturday.
Hook 'em, hook 'em, hook 'em.
You and me both.
Arch Manning is not going to disappoint. They're going to beat the living Longhorns out of the Buckeyes on the Buckeyes surface. And the Ohio State faithful are going to forget about that flag raising and call for Ryan Day's head again. fast as they can.
You and I are 100% in agreement on that. They will turn on Ryan Day less than 4 hours after raising the Natty banner. It'll be fantastic. LSU Clemson in Death Valley, paranational title contenders, ACC begging for some respect. This is their chance. Clemson's a 3.5-point favorite.
I know that, and this is why I like picking these games. I don't know, and I pick these games as soon as you say them. I don't do any research. I did not know that was a 3.5-point spread. I'm going to go with I don't like Brian Kelly at all, but I think he's probably taken that LSU NIL / booster money and bought some really good players for this year. I'll take the 3.5 points. I think it'll probably be a close game, but I would expect LSU to cover that.
You give me an SEC team with points against a team in another conference, I'm taking the SEC pretty much every time. That's not research, Parney. That's from the gut, and that's what we love about these.
But LSU picks. Hasn't won an opener in a while, right? Hasn't LSU lost a bunch of openers?
No, and famously lost to USC last year in that Vegas game. So big pressure moment for them as well in a year where they've got title ambitions.
I forget who it is. Somebody's lost like 5 out of 6 years openers. I don't know who it was, but it was somebody.
Bill Belichick coaches college football now. UNC hosting TCU in Belichick's debut. They are underdogs at home to TCU, Parney. 3.5-point dogs.
Well, Vegas knows something. I mean, Belichick can't get out there and tackle people, neither can his girlfriend.
But says you.
Well, she tackles Bill, I guess. But I don't know. TCU, who knows what they're going to be like. I'm going to go with Tar Heels here just because I'm going to go with the Tar Heels.
We are identical this week on our picks. I'll make mine at 11:45, but we are 3-for-3 in agreement. Parney, always great to chat with you. Get out to the Diamond. It's a beautiful weekend, and next week when we chat, we'll be in the heart of a pennant race, games in Altoona, and then, of course, coming back for the final series at the Diamond. It will be an eventful stretch. I'm looking forward to sharing it with you.
It'll be great, buddy. Thanks for having us, and have fun. Go nuts, everybody. Get out here and the Diamond countdown, because diamonds don't last forever.
Ooh, well put. We're back with more after this on your home of the Squirrels in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MB on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. University of Colorado, football debut, Friday night for this season. Now, everybody's focused on Deion. I get that. I like Deion. I'm watching Deion. But do you know, Megan, the Colorado Buffaloes have a live buffalo as their mascot?
That's really cool.
Ralphie's his name.
No, I love that.
And before the game, he runs circles on the field and gets everybody fired up. But Ralphie's not going to be out there.
Aww.
I know.
You can't do that.
Well, Ralphie's retiring. This is Ralphie the sixth.
Okay.
The current live buffalo mascot is retiring. The school announced that Ralphie has developed, and this is a direct quote, an indifference to running.
Well, can he walk around? I mean,
I don't think that's going to get everybody fired up, but a nice leisurely stroll.
I'd still be fired up.
They are in the process of training Ralphie 7 for her debut.
I'm looking this up.
Yeah. Indifference to running. And honestly, I've never related to a mascot more than I do.
Same.
In this moment right now. No, Ralphie. It's an indifference to running for Ralphie.
It's so cute.
Well, yeah, it's a buffalo. Don't get too close. Yeah.
I want to pat it.
They're cute until they're not.
It's adorable. It's used to people. The way he's just staring at me like,
no, that thing's got horns. That thing's got horns.
It's controlled. I mean, they got a leash on it.
I want to know how many people pet Ralphie, and I'm not one of them, nor will I ever be one of them.
Meanwhile,
no chance you'll catch me anywhere within petting range of Ralphie.
I don't know, man. It's adorable. I can't get over it. The pictures are cute. Y'all look it up.
Ralphie's very cute. And Ralphie's indifferent to running, which I think we can all relate to.
Yes.
In our lives, in our own ways. Virginia Tech will not have a live Hokie because there is no such thing as a Hokie. They will be taking on South Carolina, though. It's the Beamer Bowl. I get into how Virginia Tech's going to do this season. But the center of the broadcast Sunday is going to be Frank Beamer. He joined our friends with the Tech broadcasting team. They'll air this during the pregame, which you'll hear Sunday on 910 The Fan, of course, because we are your home of the Hokies in Richmond. Here's a little Frank Beamer on what it's like to watch a game now that he's retired.
I said, this is going to be one game I'm going to come out of. I don't care how it goes. I'm going to be a little bit happy and a little bit sad.
You're going to be up in the booth at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How do you think it's going to be? What's your emotional take on how you'll be during this game, Coach?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. Back when I was coaching, Cheryl, when it got to be an important part of the game, down the goal line or whatever, she'd get up and go to the bathroom and listen for crowd noises. And I said, why don't you just sit there and watch it? I mean, why do you do that? I mean, it makes sense just to watch the game. She said, oh, I get too nervous. Well, now, when it gets to an important part of the game, I start looking for a bathroom.
Full circle?
Yeah. Where's that bathroom? Yeah. But anyhow, I'm going to sit with a lot of pride in both schools and feel good about both schools. Know the both coaches have been on my staff, as I said earlier, and so proud of both of them. Really, really good leaders, really top of the class, I think, as far as college football coaches. So, I think we're in for a great game.
That always amuses me. I can't watch. Some of the players have that, too. You get a game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
They'll be there with their hands over their eyes.
Yeah.
Listening for that.
It's crazy.
Crowd always tells you. Crowd won't lie. It's going to be a good crowd. The ticket sales very brisk right now for this game. I think a lot of Hokies are going down. I think here's what I love about the Hokies fan base. And I don't want to make this a Tech UVA thing because I am going to dunk on the UVA fans at some point in today's program. But this is just about my respect for the Tech fan base, which for many years was used to packing up, traveling down south to Atlanta, watching big football games. I love that even though this isn't the glory days, they're still doing it. They're still buying the tickets. They're still going to make their presence felt. There's still going to be a lot of Hokies fans there on Saturday. I think that's really cool. I don't think the result of this game means hardly anything in the big scheme of things. And you even go back to, you know, how big those games were in Atlanta, those kickoff games, and even like FedEx Field. I was there for the Boise State game, which you look at in retrospect cover your ears, JMU fans. But if they win that Boise game, I think they beat JMU, and I think they go undefeated, and I think they're in the Natty that season. Who knows what happens there? Probably lose to an SEC team. Doesn't matter. It would have been in another one. They didn't. What a great college football game. That was a great night of college football. And I think Sunday is going to be a great celebration of college football as well. I don't know if this is going to be the crispest, most perfect game, but I think it's cool to celebrate Frank Beamer and in the context of Shane Beamer as well. And here's the thing. Shane's got his thing going so well now, we don't have to do the, like, is he going to be the coach here number? He's not. He's not going to be the coach here. Doesn't matter. We've moved on. At the end of this year, I think it's very possible Tech's looking for a new football coach. As you heard with Babcock say earlier this year, a lot of that's about the money. A lot of that's about finding the resources to be competitive. They got outspent by UVA. They outfan UVA, but they don't outspend UVA. And UVA's bought themselves a very nice football team this year. And Tech made some investments, but they're dipping their toe in the water, and you'll see the results of that. And as we talk about all the time, it's a more competitive ACC than it's ever been. Tech football this season, we'll turn in the card now. When I pick the game later, I'm picking South Carolina. Nobody will be surprised who's listening to this show. But starting with, you remember in 2016 and 2017, Justin Fuente took over the Virginia Tech Hokies. They went 10-4, won the Belk Bowl, and then the next season they went 9-4, lost in the Camping World Bowl. Those were both big bowl games. Those are both nationally ranked Hokies teams, and that's semi-recent history. That's 8 years ago, right? The
you remember those teams. You remember those games. Since then, 2018 Hokies, coached by Justin Fuente, 6 wins. They finished 6-7. That was their first losing record in a long time. 8-5, little gasp the next year. There was that little spark, but it didn't ignite. 2020, the COVID year, finished 5-6. Bowl streak officially ends there. Obviously, it's the COVID year, so kind of double officially ends a couple of years later. Next year, 6-7, 3-8, 7-6, 6-7. It's been 6 seasons since the Virginia Tech Hokies have turned in an 8-win season. And I think they've got to do it this year to keep Brent Pry's job. There are so many good football teams out there in the ACC that are chasing this bag. I just don't think 6-7 wins is going to be good enough for the Hokies. It's tough to get there. It's going to be really tough for them to get to 8 with this schedule. And it's not because they play the big-name schools. It's because of all the middle of the pack ACC teams they play that are going to be toss-up games. It's NC State, it's Wake Forest, it's Georgia Tech, it's Cal. Those are the games that are going to give them headaches. In Final Four, they finish hard. Louisville, Florida State, Miami, that's an 0-3 stretch right now as I look at this football team. Hope springs eternal, though. Kyron Drones has it. I believe in Philip Montgomery, the new coach. I think he's good. I love the offensive line they've brought in from West Virginia. I don't think you can go wrong getting some country boys bolstering that offensive line with them. I don't love where we're at a linebacker right now. You lose your captain. We'll wait and see what his status is for the game. Caleb Woodson, who had a DWI last weekend. It's a good roster. It's not a great roster. What does that mean? It means they got to beat Vandy. They got to put some momentum on the board early and use that momentum. It comes down to coaching, and I don't want to beat the drum too hard because I like Brent Pry a lot, and I've loved our conversations with him. But when you have that record in close games, it's tough to give them the benefit of the doubt coming into a make-or-break year. If they can keep this to a one-score game, you ain't going to see me yapping about Brent Pry's record in one-score games. You're going to see me congratulating him on Monday for a nice cover, a little momentum to start the season. But then you got that quick week. You got to get ready for Vandy. Hokie football starts Sunday on the Fan. Pre-game, post-game, in-game. You know I love that crew. And this isn't, I love Trey and Blaine, and I love London and Bram and all that crew. That's my favorite crew because there's just not a better fit of program and broadcast personalities than those guys down in Blacksburg. It's a culture. And I love it. And I'm going to soak it up on Sunday. I know y'all will as well. Hopefully you'll join us on the Fan for that. We got to keep this show rolling, though. It's MP on the mic, and we're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. What's up, Richmond? It's Thursday. You're listening to MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. It is a college football game night. College football starts tonight. It is a Flying Squirrels game night. That's what you'll hear right here on The Fan. It is Diamonds Through the Decade night, celebrating the 1980s tonight at the Diamond. Megan's here hanging out because it's Thursday.
Yeah, let's go.
What do you know about the 80s?
Nothing. My sister was born in them.
Nothing. You don't know nothing about the 1980s.
Not much.
Nope. You will not be at Diamond Through the Decades night.
I won't. I wish I went last night, though.
Well, they won last night. That part was good.
And it was just because night.
It was just because night.
That was fun.
And they won just because.
Just because.
We appreciate that.
It was funny because, like, they were talking about Santa Claus was there and there was a puppet show there. And my first question was why? Just because.
Just because.
Just because.
It's like Jelani Celesti. Just ask.
Yeah.
What's in it? Just ask.
Just ask.
We'll tell you. I usually complain about the squirrels because they've done a lot of losing this year.
Yep.
But last night they won.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because night.
Yeah.
And it's 80s night tonight.
That's
and
fun.
It's a beautiful night to go to the Diamond.
You should go.
So, I need a baseball team to complain about.
Yeah.
Cue the Washington Nationals, who got mopped by the New York Yankees over the last 3 days. Show some pride. It's not rock bottom. Rock bottom was losing to the Marlins and Rockies.
But goodness, a long year gets longer for the Washington Nationals. Show some pride. A little bit. A little tiny bit. 77 pitches in the third inning yesterday. And if you're keeping score, that's the most since they started counting in 2002. 23 years of counting pitches, which has got to be the most boring job in sports.
Yeah.
One, two. Usually you're done pretty quickly, though. 77 of them. What are we doing here? 77 pitches in the bottom of the third to the New York Yankees.
I'm curious how long that inning lasted.
Forever.
Yeah.
It's still going on.
Because we've had some long ones with the Squirrels before, but not that long.
We've had some long ones before with the Squirrels. And it's the Yankees, so it double aggravates me. Congrats to the Yankees. I'm not going to waste time on the Nats, though. We said our Nats piece when they fired Rizzo. We'll move on. Justin Verlander, pitcher, Richmonder, is now the ninth most strikeouts. He has the ninth most strikeouts in Major League Baseball history, passes the great Walter Johnson, 3,520 strikeouts in his illustrious career. Incredible run.
That's crazy.
I cannot believe he's still doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Married to Kate Upton.
Mm-hmm.
And every year he keeps saying, now I'm gonna go keep playing baseball.
My gosh.
I'll be back at the end of the year. Just saying.
How long's he been playing?
Forever.
makes sense. It sounds like it.
he's been at it for a very long time. This is his 20th season.
Wow.
Debut in 2005.
Okay. Wow.
They had just started counting the pitches then. Had to play until the Washington Nationals threw 77 pitches in an inning. Had to play long enough to see that. He's with the Giants this year. We were all hoping for like a little rehab start in Richmond. It's not going to happen, but that's okay. Would have been fun to think about. I don't think he's going to make it to 300 wins. I know that's why he hung around, but that's okay. Speaking of famous, I intentionally not brought it up because I know you've got all sorts of thoughts. Yeah, do you want to get it out of your system?
Taylor Swift is engaged.
We're all...
I'm freaking out, man. I'm freaking out. I'm losing it.
I see the videos of the people who filmed the reaction, I guess, when they found out. And I just picture that to be you.
I filmed it, but I filmed a fake one. I faked it because look, I had to jump on the trend here. I'm trying to get the views.
Anything for the clicks.
Anything for the clicks. I found out in the middle of Bath and Body Works. I was out there with my mom. It was a crazy day, and I was out there with her, and she just goes, Taylor Swift just got engaged. I'm like, what? You're freaking kidding me. You're kidding me.
Good on her for keeping that secret for a couple of weeks.
I know. That's... How long?
A couple weeks, apparently.
Wasn't it like Travis's dad was like dropping all the details too?
Yeah, I mean, leave it to Travis's dad to ruin everything. But no, I think it's been a couple weeks.
That's crazy. Okay,
that's a long time to keep a secret.
What I heard, actually, no, what I heard was it was after the podcast, which I guess would have been a couple weeks or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and you can see like in the clips, she would be talking about, oh, like my boyfriend, and he would look at the camera and smirk, and so it all makes sense now.
It all makes sense now.
Can I tell you my insane Swiftie rant?
We've come this far. I don't see why we shouldn't.
So I text my loving husband who puts up with me, and I'm like, because
is
you know,
he a Swiftie?
He likes Taylor, but he's not like obsessed or whatever.
All right.
But he's very supportive. When we first started dating, he was going to get me like Eras Tour tickets, which was insane. I was like, bro, you just met me. But
did he?
I told him no, I wouldn't let him because it was way too much money.
It was a lot of money.
I was like, you just met me and you're going to spend this amount of... No, we're not doing this. That's right. Very sweet.
There you go.
But yeah, I was like in the other room getting ready for bed and I texted him and I'm like, I am going to cry. And he's like, why? What happened? And I'm like, well, Travis is Taylor's 13th.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
boyfriend, and 13 is her number, so like it was meant to be. And in Mary's song, in her first album, where she talks about love and growing old together, she says, "All what was it? I'm gonna mess up the lyrics now. I'll be 87, you'll be 89, or whatever." And Travis is number 87 on the team, and she was born in 89. It was meant to be. It was meant to be. And he's just like, "You're insane."
It's in the numbers.
This is serious. This is like a national holiday. I'm freaking out.
I mentioned Justin Verlander. He keeps playing baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't think Travis Kelce's going to keep playing football.
No, he's going to drop. He's going to get out of there.
I think he's done after this year.
Yeah.
I think he's seen enough football. Yeah. It's national hot. What are you going to do on the actual wedding? Is the actual wedding less of a freak out than this or more?
Dude, I don't know. I'm going to sob. I feel the tears coming right now. I have watched my girl the past, 20 years. I have waited. She has been on a journey. She deserves this. I'm so happy for her.
Congrats to Taylor.
And congrats to me, too, for being so happy.
Congrats to Travis.
No.
Congrats to Megan and all of you who are losing your minds over the engagement.
I guess I should ask you, this is your show. What do you think about it? I'm over here freaking out.
I gave my take yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm very happy for them.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That's as far as I can. You're emotional about it. I am. that's fine. But yeah. The people who are like surprised by, did you see she has like a 100-carat engagement ring or whatever?
Insane,
like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Of course she does. She's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and he's Travis Kelce. I mean, why wouldn't they?
I don't find any part of this implausible. Like, did you see he had his whole backyard decorated in flowers?
That was so sweet.
Right, but like, it's not. That's a thing you, if you have enough money, mm-hmm. that's a thing you can do.
Exactly.
No part of that's like, oh my God,
it's not
can
shocking.
You believe they accomplished that?
Yeah.
With the correct amount of money, you can accomplish buying an infinite number of flowers.
I'm so curious what the wedding's going to be like. I'm so curious because like part of me says like they have the money to go all out and be all extravagant and all the lights and all the decor and everything. But then, you know, I could also see like when she was in her whole like Folklore and Evermore album, like she was very quiet and private. And, you know, would she want like just a smaller ceremony? I'm so curious what it's going to be like.
We won't know about it until after it happens.
Exactly.
I'm calling it.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. it's not going to happen now, though, because we got a football season to play. We've got Game of the Week back tonight. You're on Game of the Week duty tonight.
I am.
Gary Hess,
Gary.
Coach Chris, 1140, WRVA, Prince George, Glen Allen. Everything's weird this weekend. It's a Thursday kickoff to the high school football season because a lot of schools are out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because and the junkies were talking about this week, too. And we all love the teachers, but the first day now is like a half day now. Mm. They don't go the whole day anymore.
That's weird.
And it's like, well, Labor Day is Monday, so should probably bag Friday too.
See, I was wondering about that. One of my students said they're off Friday. I was like, why are you off Friday? She's like, I don't know.
Schools are off Friday.
Why?
Well, they've gone for 3.5 days, so you can understand how they need a breather.
Oh, no, man.
This isn't about the teachers. This is
I
about
don't
the
know,
kids.
Man.
This is not about the teachers. I don't hate the teachers.
Yeah.
Just lest anybody misconstrue.
Yeah.
My God. We love teachers.
Yeah.
You are a teacher.
Yeah.
We love teachers.
Exactly.
But the kids need to go to school.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
It's weird. I can't figure it out. I was like, is it a teacher work day? I mean, like.
No, they're off. 4-day weekend.
Just because of Labor Day.
4-day weekend. Go have
some
fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The pools aren't even going to be open. I mean, like.
No, the pools will be open.
They'll be open on Labor Day.
No, the pools stay open through Labor Day, so they'll be open all weekend.
See, ours, it stays open, but it won't open until like 4 o'clock, until they were supposed to be like out of school. So.
Oh, on Friday.
Yeah.
But it'll be open Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
Monday.
Saturday, Sunday, you're good.
No, this is the last pool weekend of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, I have not made it enough.
I don't think this weekend's the weekend either, looking at the temperature. It's going to be nice. It's a flying squirrels weekend this weekend.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a high school football weekend. This weekend. Prince George, Glen Allen tonight, 7 o'clock. Tom Hall going for his 200th victory as a high school football coach. And it's not a certainty he'll get it. This is not one of those preordained things. Gary and Coach Chris will be with you. They'll call that. But then they're coming back tomorrow for a second game. Respect to Gary and Gary. They're coming back for a second game tomorrow night. They'll be at the big public-private showdown at St. Christopher's at Huguenot, 7 o'clock. Over there, they're going to dedicate the field in honor of legendary Huguenot coach Richard McPhee, he will join the broadcast at halftime tomorrow night. You will catch all of that fun on 1140 WRVA. Gary's going to tell us all about it in about 4 minutes. We're going to get this show started. We're going to talk a lot of college football. Beamer Bowl coming. UVA hosted Coastal Carolina. Will anybody be there? We'll pose the question. We got to pose the question. We're going to spend a few minutes listening to a recent interview with VCU basketball coach Phil Martelli. We're going to do that at 10:45, and I think you're going to enjoy it. He chatted with Robbie Robinson, had a lot to say about the Rams. It's Thursday, Thursdays with friends. Parney is our friend. Parney swings by at 11. He'll make some football picks. I'll make some football picks. We will talk Commanders before it's all said and done, because when we get back on Tuesday, it'll be a game week. But right now, Gary Hess on deck. Let's give the man his respect and his time. Let's get out of here on time. It's 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. All right, and an absolute stunner. I have not left myself enough time for this segment. Who could have possibly seen this coming? But I do want to play the clip. Phil Martelli's VCU basketball coach, Phil Martelli Jr. He sat down with Robbie Robinson. The whole conversation's an hour long. You can hear it on VCU's Athletics app, and it's really good. But I want to play this clip because I think this is great insight into the offseason of VCU basketball, and we'll weigh in on it on the other side. Here's Phil Martelli Jr.
I think the 8 weeks, even just with it being 4 hours of basketball a week, having that's important, especially right now in this day and age of college basketball with, for us, 9 new guys, 5 returners. You're trying to get everybody comfortable and together. Obviously, at that time, you didn't really have that. I was a freshman class of 1. So, I walked into a team that was well-established. And your bigger freshman classes were probably 4 or 5. That was, like, a lot. So you were never bringing in a new team that was, like, half or three-quarters of your team. Well, now that's the case. So you wouldn't want to give that time up together on the court. But I do wish there was opportunity for them and a comfort. Like, guys aren't necessarily as comfortable now to be like, oh, there's a pro-am in someplace in Richmond. Like, let's go play in that. Like, they'd rather work out, because it's kind of the way guys are growing up now is, well, I'd rather go work out, which is good. But also, there's a need for some of that competitive juice to flow too. But again, we do a pretty good job with that in our practices. They're usually very competitive.
All right, that's a phenomenal lead into my next question. You are installing,
it's not my first rodeo, Robbie.
I know you've been here before. Exactly. You've been installing a new system for these guys. What has been your experience in years past in installing? Because you were at Bryant, and you took over that job. I imagine there was a lot of similarities to what you were running before. But what's been your experience, and what is the keys in installing something new to a big group of guys that they need to pick up and be ready to play when guns go blazing on November?
Well, I think comparatively speaking, this group has done the best job that I've been around of picking things up pretty quick. And being able to build. And so for me, it's like I'm in a little bit of like trying to make sure we're not doing too much too soon. But also, okay, we can move on this. This is not something we need to touch on 3-4 days. We can touch on it once, review it, and they kind of got it. So, I think for a lot of these guys, they're getting used to everything, right? So last summer with my group at Bryant, there was a bunch of returning guys, core group of returning guys. So those guys kind of knew a lot of the nuanced stuff. I just, as I was walking down here, saw one of our guys that could be a key guy, in the office. And he said something to me like, yeah, I'm still getting used to you, like, wanting me to shoot the ball. Because at his previous spot, it was like, well, I don't know if I should take this shot. Should I be giving it to this guy? And I'm like, well, were you open on that play? He goes, yeah. Then why didn't you shoot the ball? Like, I just shot one. I don't care. I had a conversation with one of our younger players this morning about that same thing. He's like, well, I feel like I can go get a layup. Okay, then why wouldn't you? We're trying to get a layup, right? Like, go get a layup.
Points are good.
He's like, well, I don't want to take too many. I don't care. I don't care. And if somebody else cares, they're going to have a problem with me. If you're getting the right shot and you're not being a pig about it, if you're just trying to get a shot to get a shot, that's a problem. If we're getting a good shot. So things like that aren't even really system related. It's almost philosophical that it's getting them in the right mindset for that. That, look, we're just trying to get the best opportunities we can get. And if it means, hey, Robbie's taking the last three shots and he's wide open again, he's going to take the fourth shot. And over the course of time, that's eventually going to swing everybody's way, right? So you get caught up in the midst of like, well, he's taking four shots. Okay, well, there's going to be a time where you're probably going to get four or five shots in a row, right? Like just being the way we're being guarded. So just getting them used to that and getting them comfortable. And again, with some guys, building confidence. With some guys, it's breaking bad habits. With some guys, it's making sure that they have an understanding of the long game of this. If other guys, it's like, yeah, your clock is ticking. Like, you better be ready to go because that clock is, I did it yesterday in the workout. Like, there's a guy that he needs to know, like, the clock is ticking on you. Like, you need to be ready to go right away. And you're not always ready to go right away. And he responded well, so that says to me, okay, he's got it in him. We can get it out of him.
So it's more between the ears and less on the dry erase board.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's definitely X's and O's involved. Right. You know, we're putting in a system that we're playing up tempo and getting them used to sprinting the floor and what that looks like. You know, every guy says, yeah, you know, they all hear that and say, yeah, I want to play fast. Okay, well, that means you have to sprint every time down the floor, not, well, I sprinted that last time, I'm going to jet. No, if you do that, it screws us up. So getting them used to that, the pace of what we want to play, the pace that we want to work. I'm not big on wasted time. We're not going to have 2-minute water breaks in between. You know, like, we're going to go. And, you know, because of that, we're not going to have 3-hour practices. But when we're in there, whether it's an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours, like, we're going to get our work in, you know, and the pace at which that needs to be, the efficiency that needs to be run at, just getting them used to all that stuff.
That was fascinating. Phil Martelli Jr. with Robbie Robinson, the voice of the Rams there. You can hear that whole conversation. Unfiltered is the podcast, PHIL, like his name. Take a lot of shots in a row. It'll even out. And then you heard about the conditioning, the running. You don't jog. You play for Phil Martelli Jr. Jogging, it's a new trend. Apparently, you barely just run around for a while. They don't do that. They sprint places. Conditioning, a big focus. And we heard that from Ryan Odom, too, as they evolved into his offense. But that's clearly going to be a focus this year. And you bring a new group in, you got to get them used to your standards, your expectations. I'm excited for VCU basketball this year. Non-conference schedule came out yesterday. Some good games on that. They'll take a couple trips away from here. They'll play in Fort Worth. They'll play in the Bahamas. They'll play a lot of games that you're going to want to hear, and you'll get to hear them right here on your home of the Rams in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.